Aloha, beautiful friends. Thank you so much for joining me. Stuart Watkins here, your host, sending you so much love. Hope you are well. I hope you are safe. My guest today is my beautiful, beloved brother, Cam Watkins. Cam is the co-founder of Darch Physio. He's a maestro percussionist, drummer, and just such a legend. Those of you that know Cam would love him to bits. He's such a lovable dude. He's so amazing. And I am endlessly grateful to have him as a brother. And we get to collaborate. We get to work together. He truly is my best friend. And it's such a delight to have him on the show again. We did our first episode some time ago. I think it was November 2018, one of the early episodes on the podcast. We did that on Maui, and it was great to get him back on the show in different circumstances in this kind of self-isolating time, but it was really inspiring, and I think you will find a lot of gems of inspiration to apply to your life. So I won't talk for any longer. Again, hope you're well, hope you're safe and healthy. Sending you and your loved ones so much love. Enjoy my conversation with the great and wonderful Cam Watkins. Beautiful brother.
My brother.
How you doing?
Very good, man. Very good. How are you?
Good to have you back on the podcast for the second time. It's been a little while.
It has been a little while. I was just thinking about that. Not quite the setting we were last time in Maui.
Yeah, that was as beautiful as it could get, really. But, you know, this is the new times. The new era is upon us.
It certainly is. And the new world is here. So, yeah, it's good to be here too, mind you.
Yep, you're at the clinic, Darch Physio. How's it all going in these new times? We are recording on the 2nd of April.
Yeah.
And we're very much in the pandemic in these new times. So how is it at the clinic?
We're right in it. Well, look, the doors are locked. I'm still kind of hanging out at the clinic here doing online stuff and keeping myself busy, getting creative and, you know, I guess, and doing that, we made the call to close the physical doors of the clinic, to take away, I guess, the face-to-face, or hands-on contact, which was a difficult call to make because we were not forced to do that. The government kind of left that up to us, you know, I guess describing us as an essential service, but we figure we can still be very effective in this platform, basically, with what you can do as a physio through education and discussion and just guidance with exercises and everything like that. So we made that call and kind of loving it at the moment. It feels good. There's a little bit more space to, I guess, explore all the other, you know, avenues of physio and, you know, forcing us to get a bit more innovative with that. So it's good.
That's great. So you've been filming a bit of content.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Talk to us about what you're vibing off right now.
Yeah. It's good fun. Absolutely loving it. I've always had an interest in doing that, and we've always kind of been trickling along with our Instagram and our social media there and really just doing enough to kind of, I guess, stay connected with people. But again, because I guess a busy life and very busy treating people, that you only have so much time to do the other stuff. So, yeah, now just, I guess, using this time to dive into that a little bit more and have a bit of fun with it.
Awesome. Exciting times. I'm looking forward to seeing more of that.
Cool.
Popping up.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting, man.
So back to this phenomenon of the coronavirus. Like a lot, so you're seeing a lot of clinics not closing shop. I mean, as soon as we got back to Perth a few days ago, we've been in quarantine lockdown, so we have no idea really what's going on out there and in Perth. And it from the sound of things, there's been a lot more panic buying and kind of just hysteria to what we were observing when we were in Hawaii. Yet, is it true that not many people are really shutting up shop and really taking those precautions? What are you observing?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. And I was chatting to a good friend who they're still running their clinic and taking all of the precautions they possibly can to do so, kind of like we were a week ago before we made the call to shut up shop. And I guess in their mind, you know, the medical or at least the expert guidance was to stay open and to keep going about business as usual. So, you know, when the government tells you that it's completely safe and appropriate to keep working, it would be absolutely reasonable to kind of listen to that. And, you know, could you look deeper and you know, maybe there is a little bit of conflict between what we're hearing with the AMA, the Australian Medical Association, and what we're seeing from the government. That was certainly a big conflict in the previous week or two, and it did seem like maybe under the surface it was a fair bit scarier than what was, I guess, public knowledge. I guess, for instance, the only people getting tested, you had to tick off all the criteria, and that included traveling overseas. So there were a lot of people cruising along with a cough and a fever and some pretty serious symptoms of a virus. But because perhaps they didn't travel overseas, they wouldn't actually get tested. And so our stats perhaps showed the numbers were quite low. And WA was doing really well, yet we know for a fact that they don't have enough tests available to be testing everyone, and that's why the criteria is how it is. But look, I can't say that it's right or wrong to stay open. I think that's absolutely, it's reasonable based on, again, expert opinion, and it was a personal choice of ours to shut up shop for now, knowing that we can do plenty behind the scenes and keep the business relatively ticking along. And of course, the government is helping us out by, you know, with little stimulus packages for small businesses and things like that. So I guess the bottom line is I think we're going to be fine. And at the moment, this feels like absolutely the right thing to do. And if everything's trending in the right direction, which at the moment it actually seems to be, so in WA, the stats seem to keep heading in the right direction. I think they are managing things quite well. The last week's been really promising. You know, there's nothing stopping us from opening back up when it feels like the right time, if things keep trending in the right direction. We just want to keep an eye on it and not feel, I guess, pressured to stay closed or stay open. It feels like we're in a position where, you know, we get to be in control this way, which feels nice.
Hmm. Awesome, man. Really smart. And I am proud of you for making that call, even though it wasn't obligatory. And yeah, really cool and admirable. And yeah, it just shows a lot of strength and character and I think confidence as well, you know?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think a big one for us was when our dad was about to come out for his weekly catch-up session and sometimes treatment, but he pops into the clinic, you know, and it got to the point where I recommended he didn't come in. He's 69. He's relatively healthy, but maybe he does have some vulnerability with his immune system, and it didn't feel right for him to come in. And so, you know, I guess if I was going to ask myself the question, how could I turn my dad away, yet, you know, Joe down the road, who's 70, comes in, you know, straight after 16-year-old you know, Anna, who was just at high school all day with all her friends, and we know this virus perhaps is more widespread than the stats may suggest. So, yeah, I think, again, ethically, it was a tough one. And to, I guess, discriminate or screen for people that may be immunocompromised is a tough thing to do. You know, we didn't want to put up on the doors, if you're over 65, have any health issues, previous smoker, maybe had cancer, anything like that, which may affect your immune system. You know, technically you shouldn't come in here because we're doing our best to stop this virus. But at the same time, you know, I may be a carrier and I just haven't been tested. It's very hard to say that. So, again, I guess just seemed like the right thing to do. So we'll see. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it totally does. And I mean, all we got to do is look at the places where they were a little bit behind the curve, so to speak, a little bit behind putting their brakes on with all this, and the spread just doubled and doubled and doubled and became unmanageable, like what we're seeing, of course, in Italy and now Spain and so many different places. And I know the UK was getting complacent with it, and then it's not looking great all of a sudden there. Of course, New York and LA, and yes, they're bigger, more dense, congested places, where a big city is right next door to another big city. That could be one of the blessings of being Perth, such an isolated city. Hopefully it doesn't get out of control like it has in some of the more dense cities in the world. But it does seem like the places where they haven't created the more intense measures of quarantine, it just, before they knew it, within a week, just got unmanageable. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if what happens in Perth. Do you think it's already peaked here, or still peaking, or still unknown? What do you think in that?
I think it's really hard to know. I think it was looking scary, and it did feel like there was a little bit of too little too late. You know, I watching other countries, and I've got a good physio friend in Canada, Rob. They were in full lockdown. You know, the clinics were shut. They were forced to shut for a good, you know, 3 to 4 weeks. And that saw numbers drastically go down, and they've received some good feedback saying, this is working, let's keep going, keep isolating, keep quarantining for now. And then after that period of time, they did give them the option to open back up when they wanted to. And I know that he personally didn't rush, or hasn't rushed back into that. He's taking his time. So there was a thought perhaps that maybe we were moving a bit slow, and just because stats weren't suggesting that it was as widespread, we know again that they weren't testing everyone, so the numbers were higher than what the stats show. I think it was a bit scary there, and certainly for me, I was thinking this is way more widespread than we're giving it credit for. Again, interestingly, are we really lucky, and is our isolated, beautiful little Perth city over here in WA, is that putting us in a position where it is less spread, I guess, compared to those denser countries in Europe and America and things like that? I think maybe that is in our favour. That panic and stress has seemed to have kind of come down a touch, which is really nice. I think the general kind of anxiety in the air has just come down a little bit. It doesn't seem like a full lockdown is like imminent, where it did a week ago, where like any day we're going to be told to lock down. So I think most people were stocking up fridges and stocking up houses, getting ready for 2 to 3 to 4 weeks. You know, there's other countries, like I think it was in India, where they didn't even have 24 hours notice. I think they had a couple of hours notice and told they're in lockdown for 28 days, you know, so that would create some hysteria. And I think people were just getting prepared for that. But yeah, the general feeling is it's been a really nice week. I think the other thing that's kind of settling the kind of anxiety is the government's coming out with all their little stimulus packages, and people are, yep, someone's just seeing if we're open, but we are certainly not open. Hey guys, sorry. Yeah, I think people are starting to realise, okay, we're actually going to be okay, even if we're forced out of work. We are going to be looked after to some degree. And the other thing I think is everyone's in a very similar position. So it really is forcing kind of society just to kind of go on hold for the meantime. So it's interesting. It's a crazy time, man. We don't know what's going to happen. Again, this is the feeling right now. We know this virus is incredibly contagious and can spread like wildfire. And as long as everyone keeps doing the right thing, and in my mind, and I know we were chatting about it last week, it's, you know, behave in a way like you have the virus. Take those precautions like you have it, and don't be complacent. And you know, I guess take every precaution you can, and if everyone's doing that, then we should be able to get on top of this thing. And it's hard to know how long it's going to take, but we're going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, there's been some huge lessons in it seems to be magnifying people's selfishness, at least in the early days of this peaking, in which you know, we're hearing from a lot of people our age and younger and even in 40s and up, well, you know, it's not going to kill me, so what's the big deal, you know? But you're exactly right. Just being aware that even if we're not deadly sick, we could be a carrier spreading it, and then those that have compromised immune systems, and the elderly, of course, are so sensitive to this and are going down really fucking quick all around the world. So it's a huge lesson in really seeing where we get selfish and like narrow-minded in our own age, in our own experience, because I think especially in Australia, that kind of like she'll be right mentality, you know, no, she'll be right, you know, like fuck that, she'll be right. And just kind of, you know, it freaked a lot of people out and continues to, of like, what the fuck am I going to do? I can't go for my weekly pub session, or I can't go for my weekly catch up with the lads, or whatever it may be. Like people freak out if they've got their day in, day out routine throughout the whole year. And it gets people going a bit mad. I mean, we've seen statistics, especially in Europe, apparently, of abuse within the household has just skyrocketed. So I mean, Joe and I were talking about it because a lot of like couples, for example, aren't used to spending like that much time together. You know, if just a very traditional scenario of say the male being out working all day while wife's cooking and cleaning, like just a very traditional old model, which is definitely dying off, but still pretty prevalent, especially in these older communities. So they're out all day. Maybe they come home and have a beer while watching TV. And then the weekend comes and, you know, off to the pub on Friday night. And then watching sport all weekend. And there's not a lot of intimacy. Like, that's pretty normal. And it we were just talking about like how normal that is, and now all of a sudden people are, if they are in quarantine or in lockdown and just 24/7 family time, it should be a beautiful thing. And we're hearing a lot of beautiful experiences of that, and we're loving it. But apparently like abuse within the household has just skyrocketed. And I can only imagine it's from, like, of course, the stress if they've lost their job, all these bills racking up, like, what the fuck are we going to do? and just like spending 24/7 together, like, and just getting faced with like your own insecurities, your own stuff. And, it's an interesting time on that front. And it's super sad that, a lot of people there aren't able to like just be in their own space, be in their own kind of surroundings, their own loved ones, without it bringing up a whole lot of shit.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Pretty interesting, huh? Have you heard that?
Not as much, but now that you mention it, it makes perfect sense. And one thing I've seen in the past or over the years, you know, working, treating different couples and different people, like it's such a big part of WA culture with the fly-in, fly-out workers. And what I often see, you know, they go away for 2 weeks, they come back for 1 week, and there's almost an element when they're away, the wife kind of gets into a little routine with the kids, everything's sweet, the dad comes back and kind of causes a ruckus, the kids are all excited, it's all weird, it's all great, but it changes something, and then they go back and then peace again.
Kind of get used to that.
Get used to it. And then what I've seen a couple of times is, all right, it's time for the husband to finish up on the mines and just create some stability.
And of course we're generalizing with the gender specificity here. It's we got to be very very sensitive in today's day, you know. So
I know I could almost say the symbolized male in the, you know, whatever, in the relationship.
Exactly.
the person that's going up north, male or female, but they get very used to those worlds. And then what I have seen happen is when they decide to create some stability at home and get a job in Perth and let's stay here, some people struggle with that, and they almost can't cope. I've seen people not cope, and the wife's actually gone, you need to go back up to the mines because this is not working. And they kind of, the wife or husband, either one, that person goes, you know what, I actually was liking my routine as well. And then they just go back into it again. It's quite strange. So now thinking, you know, let's say you've got your person who works a freaking heap of hours overtime, and then they might have their other hobbies outside of work, away from the home as well. You know, etc. And now all of a sudden, hobbies are done, work's done, and they're working from home, and the, you know, gyms are closed, everything's closed. So that's going to be a shock to the system, and that's going to take a lot of getting used to. What I have found interesting and really cool as well, just as an example, just talking to a client and a friend, you know, he goes, I'm going to go nuts without gyms open, and without work. It's interesting. And he took a photo of his family, and he goes, this is life now. And he goes, and it's just so amazing to change it up and be able to spend this quality time with my family. Yeah. So he got it, you know, he gets that, and he's looking at this and looking at the beautiful silver lining. And it was the same with my business partner, Craig, who has his beautiful family with his wife, Lana, and the two boys. You know, about a week ago or the night before we shut up the doors, he kind of said, are we making a mistake? And I just said, man, what an opportunity you have right now to just spend time with your family. Like, we may never get this opportunity again. Like, let's look at it like that. It's not a mistake. You know, if everything's heading in the right direction and we decide that it's a safe and responsible thing to open up the doors again, we'll do that. But you know what? Let's you know, use this time to get innovative on the business side of things and fine tune that and spend time with our loved ones and do that. And if everyone looks at the positives and looks at the silver lining, then there is a heap there, isn't there?
There's a heap. This has been literally the only time we've heard these particular neighbors to our west, to our East, playing. We never hear him. We never hear a peep. We've got quite a tall wall on that side, as you would know, and you probably never heard him either. We've never heard a peep from them, but this whole week we've been hearing so much from them, playing and little kids laughing and singing, and it's been awesome. And we're hearing a lot of that and people's posts and so forth of, this is fucking paradise, you know? And of course, there's a lot of collective stress right now, and there's a lot of people getting very sick and a lot of people dying very quickly at this very unusual rate. But it is during these epic times of immense challenge where people wake the fuck up. People wake up real quick, you know? So of course there's going to be the more negative aspects of how people face the current challenges, but then hopefully equal to that, if not more, there's going to be people reinvigorating a deeper love for their family, for themselves, for maybe, I mean, how often do you hear of people bitching about their job?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Bitching about their job. And then all of a sudden they've got this awesome opportunity. Okay. You've lost your job. You've been bitching about that job for years, decades, you know, like get creative. Like, what do you really want to do? And it's making a lot of us really dig deep and get creative and get entrepreneurial and even collaborate and help each other out. And it is awesome on that front. But of course, you're going to have the dark with the light, you know. There'd be a lot of people right now feeling very lonely and drinking too much. I mean, just binging. So any listeners out there, and I know of a couple that have reached out saying, fuck, I just can't stop eating. I've already put on 10 kilograms in like a week, you know. And I know at least a couple of people like that would be listening. And it'd be good just to speak to them for a bit with compassion and inspiration. Like, you know, that feeling, I mean, you might not, you're so inspired and so driven, but we can at least like relate when you're in a deep, dark hole, and that deep, dark hole just keeps getting deeper and darker and it gets thicker and thicker. It'd be awesome just to like speak to that and encourage. Cause it's like one thing, like get on the Goggins train, you know, just harden up and just go for it. And that can work, you know, can't it? But sometimes like, you know, when one's been drinking a bit too much, eating a bit too much, and they're just, you know, that feeling where like a big old hangover that just kind of keeps going. There'd be a lot of people in that situation right now, you know? And Joe and I were just talking about, like, imagine the people that just went through the bushfires over the summer, you know, and they lost everything over the bushfires and maybe just started to reemerge like the last month. And then this, you know, there'd be a lot of people out there where it would feel like hell on earth right now, wouldn't it?
Man, it is crazy. Yeah, it's I could only imagine, you know. I'm really looking at the bright side, and I know that we're going to be okay, and that's good to know. But other people, it is harder, and they may be in really difficult circumstances through this. I would like to think that the majority are going to be absolutely fine, and we're going to come out of this thing having learnt some you know, some huge lessons along the way, with a serious, I guess, bit of evidence about how we were previously living and how maybe some of those things might have not been so healthy, and perhaps some people do need a radical wake-up call. But with some of those coping strategies, it's when you're so thick deep in it, it's obviously hard to break through. So obviously, yeah, I mean, it's just knowing that there is help out there available, and just, you know, those people need to get in touch with the right people like yourself, and just kind of chat it out and figure out what's going to help them get through. Like for me, there's no better time than the present to really kind of solidify what daily practices you can do to look after yourself, you know, even if you're homebound. That's going to, you know, create a foundation that you can do for the rest of your life, something that's really positive and beneficial for you, you know. So I think when people are in such a crappy place, you know, it's a fork in the road and they've got a choice, and it's just going to have to be getting out of their comfort zone and getting in touch with the right people perhaps and getting a bit of help and guidance. That, you know, again, looking at the light in this situation, there is so much stuff out there, like online and everything, you know. Imagine if this was happening, you know, not even 15 years ago or something, it would have been really quiet. And, you know, now it's just one kind of awesome positive thing that you can kind of look through, one inspiring thing after another. People are kind of really providing a lot of positive information about getting through these kind of times. So you just, you know, those people, they do need to dig deep and make a choice, to dig himself out of that hole and to not be afraid to ask for help, no matter how crap they're feeling. You know, the help is there, the information is there, and they just need to make that choice, I guess. Not that it's an easy thing to do, and I've never even been into those dark places, but I can only imagine and appreciate those places, and I know how difficult it would be to get out, but the help is there, obviously.
Yeah. Something keeps beeping. Do you know what that is, brother? Check it out. And I'll just riff off what you were just saying, because that was super inspiring. And yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm just seeing on my feed live yoga class after live yoga class and meditations and kirtans and so much good stuff popping up. I've never seen so much good stuff on my feed, you know. It's been super inspiring. And yeah, I guess if one is like going down that rabbit hole of just watching the news, just watching, I don't know, zombie movies, like you got to kind of extricate yourself out of the darkness and feed some good stuff, because there's never been so much good stuff out there. Like you said, you just got to make that choice and create that momentum. That's what I've been doing each morning. I've kind of created a routine for each day, like getting up early and doing a strength training workout, followed by some more yin stretching and asana, and then meditation. And by that time, the girls are up and we have breakfast, and there's kind of a routine, and then homeschooling, and then we put on some music and have a dance, and then shake that off and do some painting and stuff like that. And then I'll have a good skip for an hour in the afternoon and like just take it up a notch. Yeah, it's been great. It's been awesome. It's been like a retreat. It's been like a retreat, like a beautiful retreat. And Joe and I are tag teaming between doing stuff like this and recording meditations. And it's been super productive and beautiful. But it, for sure, it's momentum, like momentum and a bit of discipline of like keeping a little bit of structure, because it would be easy just to like get a bit complacent and get a bit bogged down in the negative potentials of really obsessing about what's wrong, you know. And we definitely have moments of stressing about these new times, but then pretty quick to shift that stress into something creative and productive and inspiring. So it's like, it feels for us like a happy medium of that, of not just kind of avoiding the stress, you know, because there's some stresses popping up now for sure. The feeling of uncertainty is kind of stressful when I look at like providing for the family and just that whole thing. it's the whole game's being shifted, the whole year's kind of being cleared out, you know, all the events cleared out, and it's completely different from what we've ever experienced. So we're navigating that kind of uncertainty. Things have changed very fucking quick, and now, like, getting honest, like getting vulnerable and honest when we're feeling the stress, and we talk about it, sit with it, and then fucking burn it up, do some skip rope, do some yoga, do something creative to burn it up, you know? Cause if the fear and anxiety just sits there, it just, and especially if our coping mechanisms are just like turn on the news or drink or even weed. I mean, I think weed can be a good tool right now, but I think if people have too much of it right now, it can just feed that kind of paranoia that can come with it. And I think now's the time for keeping the mind real sharp and clear, huh?
Yeah, I agree. I've got to, you'll find it quite funny, I guess, with the Goggins mentality, like you mentioned. Let me just check. That's who it is. So I've just started a new challenge. It's called the 75 hard. There's kind of like five components. And it's this guy, Andy. What's his name? Andy Frizzella.
Hey, just cut the D off your Dutch physio. Get the D back in.
Oh no, D's in. Yeah, we're in.
Okay. Get the D.
D's in. All right. Andy Frizzella, just like a pumped up American dude. His podcast is the MF CEO, which is the motherfucking CEO podcast, right? And that's how he talks, and he is jacked up. But he's freaking awesome, and he's a CEO of a big freaking like supplement company. But his podcast is for free. He doesn't even have advertising on it. It's just literally out there, and all he asks is that people share the love around. And but he's obviously absolutely killing it. He's a very rich man, but. And he talks a lot about just doing the right thing with people, and that's what business and life is all about. It's very authentic. And anyway, he's got his 75 hard, which is all about forging mental toughness, which is kind of along the Goggins idea. And the kind of five categories, there's you got to do 2 45-minute workouts a day, and one of those has to be outside. And that can be whatever you want. You got to stick to a diet for, this is all for 75 days straight. So no rest days. You got to stick to a diet, whatever you kind of choose, vegan or vegetarian or carnivore or whatever you might choose. You got to read 10 pages of a self-help book. You got to drink like 4.5 liters of water a day.
10 pages in the whole 75 days.
A day. This is all every day.
A day.
Every day.
Right.
Yeah, every day, which is not too much, and take like a photo of yourself, basically. So I guess of your physique and how that may change over the time. And, you know, I looked at it a few months ago, this gym where I'm at, Helix, where you might have seen a few photos and stuff at recently, Tim Frey there and Taylor McLeod and Cam and the guys, it's an awesome gym. And watching them get shut down along with some of the other gyms, Legion and some of the other ones, it was really sad to see these beautiful community places get shut down and to see, I guess, how those... everyone involved in the community, that was their staple, like the person's pub or like the person's golf course or whatever, their gym, their community, like that getting shut down was huge. Anyway, so at Helix, they're running 75 hard, and it's kind of cool because everyone's in it together and everyone's supporting each other through it. How are you going? How's the diet? What's the hardest part? It's awesome. I'm super inspired.
That's great.
And they've been really good at supporting me, by coming in here and certainly supporting the business and that. And so I thought I would get on board, and I'm loving it, man. It's like, you know, I think a workout in the morning, a workout outside in the afternoon. It might be just a jog around the lake, you know, while we can. And it's, for me, having those things, it's like I just looked at this as like, first of all, I'm going to have the time to do it, which is a blessing, and it's going to keep me kind of on track. I think I knew, because I had a few days where there was like the business, we were closing the doors, there was a million things I could potentially do with my time, and it was like kind of overwhelming, like how am I going to like funnel this into actually applying this to something, you know, what, how am I going to be productive? And I had a few really unproductive days, and I was enjoying having a beer and eating kind of crap. I was like, well, the restaurants are going to close soon, I might as well eat all the crap. And I was feeling kind of average. And I'm like, nah, 75 hard, let's go.
No, that's good, man. That's really good.
It's really cool. And, you know, I'm only 3 days in. I got a long, long ass way to go.
Well, please, after this, send me some links and I'll leave them below, because maybe some listeners are vibing off that and maybe they're having trouble creating their own like structure for this time, you know, and that could really help.
I agree. Going back, a few months when Helix Crew did it for the first time and a few boys got some amazing results, like befores and afters 75 days later, I looked at it, I'm like, I just don't have the time. Like, I don't want to put pressure on myself to be reading that book when I'm home late or do that second workout 7 days a week. You know, it's pretty hardcore. But having this period right now is like 75 days. That's probably a reasonable amount of time in terms of what we're looking at the moment. I don't think we're going to be out of this thing within 75 days. And again, having a little bit of structure and something to go, you know what? The way Andy talks about this is like, it is hard. He's like, most people won't make 75 days. But to actually keep yourself going, if you tick those five things off, like, you're healthier, you're doing the right things for your body, you're looking after yourself, all of those things are going to create a better, I guess, physical environment, you know, to prevent sickness anyway while this thing's going on. So it's almost a perfect scenario. But again, like, it's basically replicating what you're doing, I would say.
Yeah, sounds pretty similar. That's what's working for me. So that's really cool to hear.
It's interesting. It's great. Mm. Yeah, it's good fun. So watch this space. We'll see if I'm hard enough.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I mean, the whole practice of yoga is to merge the masculine with the feminine. So it's like that kind of fired up energy with softening energy. And
that's right.
So that's the optimum balance for me, doing something that kind of fires me up and gets the pump, so to speak, and gets the fire flowing and really gets me excited. Yeah. What would be called rajasic energy, and then something that soothes and softens and quietens, and then also filling in the gap. I think the reading thing is great. I think in this day and age where the audiobooks and the podcasts, and I mean, that's my go-to for sure. Absolutely. But I think that muscle of reading is one that is really crucial to keep alive. I think it atrophies pretty quick. And like even writing, like pulling out an actual pen or pencil and actually writing, like I think that'd be a good one to even add to the list as well. Like do a bit of like, even if we got heaps of time on our hands, like wake up and do some journal writing in the morning, like write down your struggles, you know, write down your hopes, kind of purge it all onto the paper and maybe even get really creative and create that vision board now, you know, create that vision board and write it out and get pumped, get clear. Because it's totally necessary right now. If we're not doing those exercises to get clear and focused, there's just so much noise in the collective right now that can just take over our mind, right?
Yep, absolutely. And look, I guess what this thing is, is talking about. It's and like that Goggins mentality of, you know, take the challenging path, you know, do the harder things because you are forging a kind of mental toughness that essentially what happens is when things get really tough, like in life, you know what, I've always chosen that more challenging path. I never kind of gave up and I'm going to get through this as well, you know? So it's kind of,
yeah.
It's again, like
training.
It's not necessarily for everyone. And we don't all have to be freaking jacked up and like tough. But like you say, it's all about then balancing it with that softening energy and the feminine energy and not letting those
get in the way. I mean, if we have become too soft, it could be very timely to go hard for 75 days, you know, and a lot of people have become too soft. I mean, again, coming back to the very young New Australia, a lot of us in our kind of privilege have become pretty damn soft, you know, in some parts of the world, it would just be like, it'd be like living like royalty the way a lot of us have, you know? And
that's right.
in that kind of privilege, I think a lot of us get complacent and like soft and that kind of sense of entitlement, you know?
Oh, yeah,
so that soft. Kind of toughening up, I think, is like toughening up our sense of character as well, you know? And I mean, what was it? I saw some memes going around like, you're a hero for staying on your couch right now. Like, look at your grandparents that went to World War II, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, we've got it real tough. We're getting forced to stay at home on our couch.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, boo-hoo, you can't go to the gym. Like,
seriously, man. There are some people like, what are we going to do? We can't go out and get our hamburger, you know? It's like, well.
I know.
It's you know, make one at home together in the kitchen, you know, it's like, it's awesome. So yeah, I hear you. It's all about perspective, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. This is a huge wake up call, a huge shift of perspective. And I mean, the things we took for granted, even just like for us, like walking down the road to Peaches, to the supermarket to get food, like totally took that for granted, you know? And,
dude, straight out, man.
Yeah. And now we're just like really cooking and just cherishing every bit of food. And it's forced this new level of mindfulness in regards to like what we're putting into our bodies and not going overboard, you know, not overindulging. Like, no, let's, you know, we got to space that out for the whole week, you know, like, no one can go to the shops for us for another few days. Like, we got to, get really mindful and smart. And, it's been awesome. It's been such a cool practice and has really forced us into a deeper presence, a deeper like gratitude and like humility. You know?
So much, man. Like there was that really beautiful video going around and it just said, you know, this is showing us how good we had it. And it kind of like panned out. It was Venice Beach and, you know, hundreds of people playing basketball and shirtless and bashing into each other. And yeah, it's going to hurt not being able to shake your friends' hands and hug your friends and do all that kind of stuff. But then again, on the other side, like you were kind of saying before, you know, joy in the most simple things. And I know you guys are quarantined at the moment and I feel for you every time I get to go down to the beach and stuff, but not too long to go. But, you know, when I've just been doing more like low intensity, like go for a nice long jog, go jog down to the lake, jog around the lake. And it's kind of cool because technically at the moment we can't be in groups of more than two. So everyone will kind of be with their partner who they're obviously sharing their germs with and things like that. And everyone is just in their little partnership or their small family, and they're playing basketball, they're walking, they're jogging, they're laughing. It's like, it's amazing. Like everyone has a frisbee or a ball or a, you know, and never seen anything like it. And it's totally beautiful. It's awesome.
Mm. Yeah. See, we're very lucky here. I mean, just as we were leaving Maui they were going into complete lockdown, and like you cannot leave your house unless you really need to. So there was none of that. So it's quite interesting to hear that, because so much of the world right now, they can't do that. And I'm sure a lot of listeners right now, they're in places where it's complete lockdown. And I mean, we're so grateful that we've got lots of light flowing through our house and we can step outside and do a bit of exercise outside. But there'd be a lot of people that are getting onto about week 3 or week 4 even of complete lockdown in a really small apartment, you know? Where, you know, that clip I put on Instagram of that skateboarder skateboarding in his, so that kind of thing, like people are doing some really cool creative things because they literally cannot, like us, we can't go outside the gate. We can't go outside the front door. So like that, what you described is beautiful. It sounds like just absolute joy. And it's really equally like, I was speaking to my friend Justin Beretta, who's in Silver Lake in a dense part of LA. And he's described that at 8 p.m. every night, everyone gets out on their, because they're all mainly in small apartments and they're in lockdown in their small apartment. And at 8 p.m. each night, they all go outside on their balconies and just pump music and get their like laser lights pumping. And it's like it's becoming Burning Man in our own apartments. And apparently that started from giving gratitude to all the frontline workers at the hospital, because there's a hospital down the road. So they're pumping out gratitude to all the hospital workers and the frontline workers and doctors, which I mean, it is really cool how much creative, inspiring stuff like that and like what you're describing is getting cultivated through this, you know?
There's so much good stuff coming out of it, and not to mention, you know, what we're seeing happen with the environment in different parts of the world, you know, Italy and China with significantly reduced pollution, and the skies are clearer, and there's dolphins in the canals, and the birds are chirping again, and that hasn't been happening in these parts of the world. It was as if that was never going to happen, and within a few short weeks to see that. So it's like, it's crazy. It's crazy, the positive effect, if you look at that side of things, if you have that perspective and if you look at it. Obviously, again, there is so much horrible stuff happening with this, and it is horrible. But, yeah, when you look at the positive stuff, it's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting how, I mean, anything can create polarity, because even in this topic, I've noticed there are some people that are on one polarization. Some people get angry at people having this kind of inspiring conversation in this day and age. Like, how can you find the good in this? How can you be speaking about the inspiration right now? How can you be taking it so lightly? And then there's the other polarity of like, people not taking it seriously enough. So it seems like, again, a kind of middle way kind of balance between kind of taking it earnestly, seeing the seriousness of what is happening, at the same time finding the inspiration in it. That's what it feels like to me.
I agree. Like, spot on. Finding the middle way, as always, you know, like I think it's not having your head in the sand, because a lot of people do, and they'll tick along and keep doing what they're doing, and oh no, it's all a big overreaction, and which, you know, and it's crazy to even imagine that someone would say that still to this point in time, but people have.
Are you seeing a bit of that still?
Yeah, certainly more probably a couple of weeks back. It seems to be more, okay, this is legit, we kind of have to do our bit, and sorry again for that beeping.
Come on, get your beep sorted.
What's going on with that beep, man? I just need no, okay, stop messaging me now. That's it. and damn it. What was I saying?
Sorry, I stuffed up your train of thought.
Yeah, I know, but you're spot on. Yeah. Because then it's just not being complacent, and it's, it is being responsible and doing, you know, I guess going, making tough calls and being ultra, I guess, taking all the precautions that you can. So it's respecting this thing, because right now in WA, we have it really good. We're very, very lucky. And if everything keeps ticking along as it is, then the government has played it really well, and we're going to be absolutely fine. Relatively speaking, it's still going to take a long time to kind of recover and get back to how we were, and we may never get back to how we were. But I think, it's just taking that middle ground, like you said.
Now back to you. What do you talk a bit more about what you're vibing off and what you're going to be recording in these coming weeks and where we can all find it?
Okay. It's so interesting because, you know, like, we were starting to work together more, and I've already thought a couple of times it's a damn shame, because I was looking forward to doing some more retreat type things with you in the very near future, and we were talking about getting that happening. But, you know, over the last probably few months, particularly after leaving Fever and things like that, I guess I was gradually starting to do more of the movement and mobility type stuff, and that has just kind of flowed into this time now, you know, where I have a bit more time to invest into it. I did my first little virtual mobility session last night with all the Helix crew, and again they all got around it, and that was a cool little session, a little bit of a experiment. First session went really well. I loved it. And I'm looking to just open that up a little bit more. It's very much kind of my take on mobility training, you know, similar to yoga, but very focused on strengthening the joints and trying to improve joint health through these different exercises, improving end range control and strengthening of the muscles and the joints that way. So, you know, utilizing a lot of that functional range conditioning stuff and then just the things I've learned along the way from you through yoga and just through physio as well. So it's good fun. I'm going to open it to the public. I'm not sure exactly how I'll structure that. So just keep an eye on maybe the social media platforms, because I'll start opening that up. I think getting a bit of a YouTube channel going, like talking to you about that. I need a little bit more guidance with this sort of stuff. But certainly the gap from where I normally spend my time with people that I love to do so much, you know, that's created a bit of a gap for now to kind of fill with this other stuff, which I'm really looking forward to.
Awesome, brother. Love your work so much.
Thanks,
love
man.
You so much.
You too. I wonder if we can still collaborate through here and do classes and stuff like that together. I'm sure we can.
Yeah, let's give it a go. Let's work out how to do it. This Zoom connection was pretty good, and
good. Except for my beeping.
Yeah, you gotta sort out your beeping. And before we know it, we'll be on the other side of this, and we'll all be able to get together in the community. As to when, who knows, but it's going to be a glorious day when we finally can.
Oh man, I know, right? It's so interesting, and it's interesting how this is becoming like normal. It's almost the new normal, you know. To think, you know, we're having our little, you know, when we normally do our Sunday fun day at your house, the last Sunday fun day was through Zoom, and it was beautiful. It was so great to see everyone's faces and the girls and people playing. And it kind of felt great, and even kind of coming and greeting you through your gate with you know, minimum 2 meters distance, it still felt beautiful. You know, it's like, goddamn, I'd love to give you a big hug. And there is an element: is it ever going to be as it was, or are we all going to be kind of germophobes going forward? And are we going to have the kind of big, you know, big prolonged 2 minute oxytocin hugs and and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either. It's definitely going to change the traveling game.
Yeah.
And probably the yoga thing in terms of adjustments and using yoga. I don't know, but
no, you're right. And that was
kind of, it's going to change the game.
That was kind of heading that way anyway, a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
In light of kind of recent things anyway, you know, I think the hands-on thing, we it's really interesting how that's evolving, right?
Yeah, for sure. It was already going in that direction without a doubt. So it will be interesting. And even, yeah, the old handshake and hug. I mean, I tend to hug everyone. I don't have much discernment with who I hug. And I can see that changing for sure.
Well, it's really interesting. Like, you know, let's say if we went back to some movie or show when they would have been visualizing the future in like 2020, you know, let's imagine. Yeah. But let's say we had these kind of futuristic suits on and whatever, and it would be like, hi, how are you going? Okay, see you later. Have a good day. And, you know, it's like, is that going to be the case, man? You know, some people say that COVID-19 is here to stay, and we're going to need to keep our space and our distance, and that's just an interesting thought. Who the hell knows? Hopefully it goes away and we can go back to the way we were. But there is a lot of uncertainty around this, and you just never know. Maybe we won't quite go back as we were.
I hope we do, not going back. I hope it deepens our appreciation for being able to hang out in person and being able to hug. And like, I hope it just amplifies like how much we pay attention when we're able to give someone a hug or a handshake, because that's another area where I think collectively we became socially awkward and like lack of connection when being with someone, you know, where like when greeting a checkout person and getting our shopping. I think that type of thing generally is done very mechanically. Yeah. Or the old handshake, like when greeting someone new, like just the mechanical automated way of small talk, you know. I can see the potential of this kind of killing that a bit and really amplifying a deep connection when connecting. You know, it's going to be precious and beautiful, but probably a bit of discernment, probably like, yeah, I don't really trust you. I don't know if I'm going to shake your hand. Like, I don't know where you've been. Like, come on, have you washed your hands? Like,
yeah, are you washing your hands regularly? I don't know.
Yeah, and that kind of seems almost valid. I mean, Russell Brand was talking quite a bit about that, you know, like that's what we were doing not too long ago in the attempt to prevent disease spreading. We would be very discerning of who we shook hands with, but then, you know, with vaccinations and everything like that, we were more able to be much more less censored with who we shake our hand with and all that. But there'll probably be a bit of that again.
Yeah, it's going to take some time to kind of reintegrate the new way of kind of communicating and intermingling. Like it's going to be interesting. And again, we don't know. So, but look, I'm sure in time we'll be able to be out there playing basketball again and with more than just your groups of two and everything else. But it's going to be a bit of a process before we are back there, particularly with, I guess, people outside your own family and things like that. Mm-hmm. So, we just kind of got to see how it all plays out and hope that things go as well as they possibly could all around the world, because we're certainly seeing a lot of positive things. There is still some scary things coming out from Europe and stuff like that. And every now and then it looks like we're going well and then we'll hear a bad stat again. So we just gotta keep doing the right thing. And if everyone's doing that, we'll be able to get on top of it, you know? So that's the thing. Hopefully there's more and more people not with their head in the sand and really respecting this and not being complacent. We'll get on top of it. And in the meantime, enjoy more time, you know, within the household and with our loved ones and doing more of this sort of stuff. So it's good fun and it's just nice to have a really good chat with you.
Love you, brother.
Love you so much, bro.
Stay healthy. Stay safe.
I'm looking forward to you cranking, you know, even a little bit more. What's on the horizon for you, I guess, in your workspace?
Well, Joe and I are recording a lot of stuff for our new website, which will then also become an app, which we've been just gradually developing for quite a while, actually. We're just waiting. I mean, now's the perfect time. We're just sharpening a few things, getting it really streamlined and user-friendly. We're recording lots, and Joe's going to have lots of dance offerings on there because she's been diving deep into hula. You'll love it, actually, because
I've seen that business.
Yeah, so the hula and a bit of tribal fusion influence is kind of your spinal flow. It's a similar jam, you know. So she's recorded quite a few videos of that, which we're going to continue, and some other movement things, which I think you'll dig as well. This have you seen the Tahitian duck wobble? Yeah, you've seen that.
Well, I'm picturing that walking on her toes, like in that deep squat.
Yeah, so she's incorporated that into this really powerful 20-minute mobility workout, which I think you'll froth on. It's really cool.
That's going to mess some people up.
So, recording lots of that stuff and meditations and contemplations and lots of podcasts. And that's what we're really putting our attention into now. And probably, actually, by the time this podcast comes out, that website should be ready. And yeah, excited for that. And then, yeah, we wrote pretty much the whole year off in terms of travel, as far as we can see, which actually feels good. It feels really good just to be here and get creative in terms of the online frontier. We may do one trip later in the year, but yeah, we had to kind of write that off, which was initially a little bit stressful, but then this is just all about adaptability, just adapting and going deeper with our own practice and keep offering content out there, but mainly just getting the online thing nice and user-friendly and charged, fresh.
That's exciting. I'm keen to I guess keep following along and learning how you manage to fine tune these things. Cause yeah, I'm a baby in that area and I enjoy it though. So I'm keen to kind of keep learning and doing the same.
Yeah. Your little videos are great. So you're on the right track.
They're good fun. They're good fun.
They're awesome.
Again, with a little bit more time, I'll be able to keep making it more pro. But you know, I love our team here. Everyone's got stuff to offer and it's just sorry man with the beeping.
Sorry about the beeping, everyone. You could think of it as like it's a Tibetan sound healing bowl, Tibetan gong.
It's a beautiful thing. Is it telling us our time's almost up? But
be present.
Yeah, look, we'll just keep pumping it out and keeping I guess connecting to people. The big thing, you know, for us was we're not turning our back on the community and we're not shutting down to protect ourselves, you know, if it may seem that way. It's not like that. It's more those more vulnerable and things like that. We're trying to make the right call. But I guess in doing so, I feel like there's a kind of certainly an urge to keep putting some useful information out there to people. And it seems to be received really well. So we'll keep pumping along.
Awesome. So people that are new to Dutch Physio, they can even just call up and get some advice, get a session booked in.
Absolutely, man. And I mean, again, like if as you know, I mean, obviously we can do lots with our healing hands as physios, but without a doubt, the majority of our effect comes in the conversation, the kind of education and the guidance revolving around what they might be going through and how they're going to get on top of it through exercises and movements and all the other things that they need to be doing around their you know, even their way of living and how that can help them deal with their issues there. So a lot of the time, or you know what, pretty much all the time, you can sort out an issue without actually that hands-on contact. So we're still ticking along, we're still working, we're actually still keeping pretty busy with these kind of online consultations and having a really good effect with people and enjoying it. So yeah, if people are in need, you know, we're available and we're here to help. So just get in touch.
Awesome, brother. Love your work.
You too, man.
Enjoy the what's the 75 program again?
75 hard.
75 hard, all the way, baby.
Andy Frizzella, the MFC Frizzella. CEO.
Big shout out.
But and shout out to Helix too, because those guys are pumping and spreading the love around it. And all the gyms that, you know, and yoga studios and people who are still looking after their communities and putting the information.
Yeah, it's been beautiful to see.
It's really cool. And everyone's just helping each other out, you know. So it's look, it's an exciting time in that world as well. So but yeah, thank you so much, man. Thanks for having us on. I look forward to seeing you in the flesh. What, another week? A week.
Tomorrow it'll be 1 week down. So okay. Cruising. One more week.
All right. Let's do this. I can't wait, man. Take care and have a great week. Keep living bliss in quarantine. And and keep doing your little 75 hard yourself. I love you, bro.
Love you, brother.
Take care, man. Talk soon. Talk soon in virtual,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. Bye for now.
Bye for now.
Thank you so much for joining me. Check out the links below and be sure to check out the work from Cam Watkins, and also stay tuned for the work from Joe and myself. Not only does Joe have heaps of really valuable, potent, awesome content on glow.com, we're also just about to release our website, Yoga Heart Mind, in which there's going to be lots of great content on there as well. If you feel like supporting the podcast, if you enjoyed today's episode, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts and leave a 5-star review and a beautiful comment. Why not subscribe while you're at it? If you feel like it, share the love on your platforms. For all of you that take the time to do that, thank you so much. For those of you that have supported on my website, stuartwatkins.org/podcast, thank you so much for your donations, for your support. It's helping keep the podcast in production. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I see you all, and I send you so much gratitude and love. Be well, be safe, be healthy. Much, much love.